We're in Luke chapter 1. The title of the message this morning is The Tender Mercy of Our God. So Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. And we're going to look at some other verses as well. So Luke 1, 76 to 79. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Just thank you for your Bible. Thank you for these words in Luke that tell us of the coming of Jesus Christ at the time when Zacharias was a priest in the temple. And I'm thankful for these words he gave as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So these are words spoken by Zacharias as he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just want to go back in the chapter and look at a few verses, give a bit of background, and I'm sure most of you know about this, but Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they were unable to have children. And they were old. They were stricken in years, as I am stricken in years. I don't like that saying, stricken. But Luke 1:7 says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. The two of them kept the commandments of God. They led a blameless life. And Zacharias was a priest of the tribe of Levi. And as we know, the Levites, who were the priests, they looked after the temple in Jerusalem and performed the daily sacrifices. Zacharias' job was to light or burn the incense when he went into the temple. Verse 9 says of Luke 1, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he's in the temple and he's doing his task as a priest. And while he was there, the angel Gabriel suddenly appeared in the temple. And it doesn't say he walked through the door. He just suddenly appeared. And he was standing beside the altar of incense. And if you look at verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Can you imagine his reaction? All of a sudden this angel appears and it would have just shocked him. He was afraid of Gabriel, but Gabriel assured him that everything was all right and God was going to answer the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth by giving them a child. Verse 13 and 14. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I am sure Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for many, many years for a child. And I'm sure they believed it's too late. Elizabeth would have said, I'm beyond childbearing years. But God answered their prayers, and he was going to give them a son and name him John. And then Gabriel goes on to tell Zacharias about John in verses 15 to 17. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was to come in the spirit and power of Elias. Elias, that's Elijah in the Old Testament. But Zacharias, he doubted Gabriel's words. Luke 1:18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Zacharias didn't believe the angel. He just believed, no way this is going to happen. I'm too old. My wife is too old. But Gabriel said in verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God." Can you imagine the angel saying, "I stand in the presence of the Almighty God"? Like, I just can't fathom that, thinking about that. Can you imagine if he came here, Gabriel appeared here and said, "I stand in the presence of God"? Like, I would just, I'd be totally blown away. And then he said, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. God sent Gabriel, tell Zacharias these glad tidings. And then Gabriel made Zacharias dumb. He couldn't speak because Zacharias didn't believe Gabriel. Luke 1:20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And as we know, Elizabeth conceived and she bore a son. And her family and her neighbors were thrilled at this news. Here, this couple had been praying for so many years for a child, and now God had opened her womb, and it was a miracle, truly a miracle. Luke 1:58 and 59, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. So here the neighbors and the relatives say, "Oh no, you're going to call him Zacharias, right? After the father." But his mother said in Luke 1:60, "No, not so, but he shall be called John." And we know he was to be called John because that's what Gabriel said his name would be. And Zacharias, he still couldn't speak, so he wrote down in verse 63, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John," and they marveled all. And as soon as he had written these words down, his tongue was loosed. He could speak. And what was the first thing he did? He praised God. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And this supernatural event throughout the land created quite a stir among the people, among the Jewish people. It caused fear and amazement. Verse 65 and 66, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. God brought John the Baptist into the world by an elderly couple. It was a miracle. It was God's doing. And John the Baptist, the reason he came was to prepare the way for the Lord, prepare the way for Jesus Christ. As Matthew 3:3 says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." You know, we must not forget with God, as God told Mary, in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We must never lose faith in God. We must never think, oh, he can't do that. It's too hard for him. He created us. He created the universe, the earth, everything. We've got this world of people running around saying, oh, climate change, we're responsible for the climate. We have nothing to do with it. It's all God. God sustains us. Jesus Christ sustains us. We must understand that with God, nothing is impossible. So Zacharias goes on in verses 67 to 75, as he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he makes prophetic statements. But I want to focus on our verses this morning. And if you look at verse 76, Zacharias is speaking to his son, his infant son, his little son. And he's saying, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And then Zacharias continues to tell the infant John what his message to the people will be, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It is so wonderful as believers to have our sins forgiven, to be saved. And it's also incredible to think that it was done through the tender mercy of God. God, who is our creator, loved us. We're steeped in our sins, and yet he still loved us. You know, when you think of a person, he goes to court and he's he's charged with a crime. But the judge shows mercy and lets the guy go free. That doesn't mean the guy loves him. For some reason, he showed mercy on the person. But you see, God, he's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's full of love for you and for me. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. That's Psalm 86, 15. And because of his tender heart towards us, he's given us a way to escape judgment and escape hell. He doesn't want anyone to perish. It doesn't give him pleasure when people perish. I've had family members go before me. They have perished without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. That didn't give God pleasure. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. That's Ezekiel 18:32. So when we consider the tender mercy of God, there are 4 points I just want to briefly bring to your attention. The first is, he left his throne to visit us. Luke 1:78, the dayspring from on high hath visited us. God didn't just pity us from his throne far off in the heavens. He came himself to visit us. God the Son came down from his glorious and high throne in his kingdom, where he was being surrounded by angels, worshiped day and night by a host of angels. And he came as a man of no reputation, born in a manger to a poor young Jewish couple. He grew up in a family as a carpenter's son, and he suffered all the hardships around him that other people would have suffered. I'm sure they didn't have a lot of money. It's not like today where carpenters are rich, right? Shouldn't have said that. But you know what I mean. It would have been tough. And then when he was in his ministry, he ate and drank with sinners. He spent time with tax collectors. He walked among the blind, lame, paralyzed, the deaf, and the devil possessed. He healed them. He didn't shun anyone, no matter how poor they were, no matter how sick they were. He didn't turn from any man's or woman's sin. He grieved with men and women as they mourned the death of their loved ones. And he had compassion on the sick and the hungry. I just marvel at when he, just before he raised Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead for 4 days, before he raised him from the dead, he didn't say, "Oh, don't worry, everything's fine." He wept. He wept tears for the death of the man, and wept tears for those who were mourning the death of Lazarus. He was moved by all the trials and troubles the man goes through because he dwelt among us. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And he wasn't a teacher, as some religions teach. He wasn't just a prophet. He took our sins upon himself. He took all of my sin. He took all of your sin upon himself. And he was made a curse for us. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's Isaiah 53:3. "And through the tender mercy of our God, he gave his life in exchange for us, that we may be set free from the sentence of death and the sentence of hell. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That's Matthew 20:28. So let's consider in what way our tender-hearted God visited us, which is my second point. He visits us as the day spring from on high. And the day spring from on high hath visited us. That's Luke 1:78. Day spring means the dawning in the east. It's the rising sun in the break of day. God did not visit us with thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels. He didn't come down in his glory. He's come like the morning sun, gently rising in the east, where the light slowly increases in intensity and it's easy on the eyes. There's a gentle way in which Jesus comes to us. Jesus says of himself, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Matthew 11:29-30. Have you ever been camping and it's a beautiful early morning and the sky in the east is getting light, and you get up, you sit in your chair with your coffee and the 8,000 mosquitoes, but you see the sun slowly rise above the horizon. And as it's rising, more and more birds start singing, and things are peaceful. They're quiet. And the air is filled with the sweet singing of songbirds and the smells of summer. See, that's how Jesus comes to us, as the day spring on high. He comes gently. He only shows so much of himself so as not to overwhelm us. When I first turned to Jesus Christ and I trusted him as my Savior, I didn't know much about him. But gradually over time, my heart was filled with more knowledge of my Savior and understanding of him. You don't become a believer and you're all of a sudden a walking encyclopedia. You understand who Jesus Christ is. You know everything about him. It takes time. It's like the rising sun from the east. And that rising day spring of Jesus Christ, he fills our heart with the fullness of God, like the morning sun that gradually covers the earth with its light. and to know the Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And God also visits us as the day spring from on high, because it ends our darkness, does it not? Like the morning sun that banishes the darkness of night, our night is ended once and for all when God visits us in Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a night of worry? I've talked about this before. You have a night of worry. Something's troubling you. You're lying in bed and it's pitch black. And the problem seems to get so awful, so insurmountable. And you just don't know what to do. And you might be lying there for an hour or two. But when the morning sun creeps up over the horizon and shines its light in through your bedroom window, the worries of the night disappear and they vanish just like the darkness of the night. That's what the tender mercy of God does for us. When the day spring on high, from on high, visits us. Just as the morning sun wipes out the darkness and lights up our face and lightens our heart, when we look upon Jesus Christ, we are lightened. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. That's Psalm 34:5. And the uncertainty of life and the fear of death that we once worried about, in the darkness, it's melted away with the day spring on high who came and visited us. Jesus, as the day spring on high, is the only true light of eternal life that lights everyone. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, John 1:9. And as the true light, he gives all the chance to turn to him in faith. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's a third thing through the tender mercy of God that he's done for us. The Lord visits us in our lost condition. Luke 1:77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. He showed us tender mercy. We were unable to save ourselves, right? In our lost and sinful condition, we couldn't do anything to earn our way to heaven. So many religions, they're trying to do that. They're trying to earn their way, be better, do better things, become a good person. But it doesn't work because you can't. We were helpless. We were without strength on the way to hell. It was like when Jeremiah was dumped in the miry pit. He wouldn't have been able to move. That's what we're like before we get saved. But through God's tender mercy, he sent Jesus to save us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's Romans 5:6. And he did it because he loves us. But God commendeth his life, his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's Romans 5:8. And he loved you and he loved me before we loved him. We didn't have to love him first. See, the reason I love God now is because he loved me first. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. That's a tender-hearted God. And as an unsaved man, I would take the name of the Lord in vain. I remember in high school, I had a terrible mouth. I had a potty mouth. And I can't believe God still loved me. I'd take his name in vain. I'd use his name as a curse word. I'd use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. I had no desire to know anything about him. But he didn't turn his back on me. And through his tender mercy, he saved me. He's reached out and saved each one of us from death, even though we don't deserve it. In our sinful condition, God has taken us off that broad path that leads to destruction, and he's put us on the narrow way to eternal life. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. That's Colossians 1:21. And then looking at verse 79, it says that through the tender mercy of our God, the Lord has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Notice it says, to them that sit in darkness. Without Christ, you're in darkness. You're stuck in the dark. You cannot move. There's no way out that you can do on your own. There was a woman a number of years ago. She was hiking 8:30 at night in BC. I don't know why she'd be hiking at that time of night. And it was dark. And she slipped off the trail down an embankment. She couldn't see a thing. It was pitch black, and she was petrified, and she was cold. And she said the experience was absolutely horrifying. And while she was there, some bears came to her, and they actually came and sniffed her face. That's how close to death she came. She was in darkness with the shadow of death hanging over her. She feared being killed by the bears. The shadow of death is confusion of mind with depression of spirit and dread of the unknown. It casts a pall over you. It brings heaviness to your soul. My grandfather, he was like that in the days before he passed away. He refused to believe anything to do with God. And he was so unsettled and so troubled, and he was so sick, he was so near death. But the shadow of death was in his mind. But through the tender mercy of God, he has sought you out with the beautiful light of the gospel. He finds you, and when you call out to him in faith, he saves you. He saves you from the darkness of life without hope that you're sitting in. And Jesus, the dayspring from on high, he banishes the shadow of death that you've been sitting under. And there's one more thing I just briefly want to talk about, is that he visits us with such wonderful results. Verse 79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We have found a way out of the darkness that once paralyzed us. The dayspring from on high has shined his true light of the gospel upon us to guide our steps. He's placed us upon the rock of salvation that no one can shake us off. And he's established our way, a sure way, a way of peace. And that's peace with God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. And that way of peace, what's that way? What's the ultimate end of the way? Is it next year? Next month? No, it's eternity, right? That's where we're all, as believers, that's where we all will end up. A place of eternal joy, eternal rest in his kingdom. As Psalm 43:3 says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. So as I close, through the tender mercy of God, Jesus Christ left his throne. He came down from his high, glorious kingdom to become a man of no reputation. He dwelt among us. He shunned no one from coming to him. No one can say, I'm not worthy to come to God. Anyone can come to God. Jesus dwelt among us. He visited us as the day spring on high, like the morning sun that gently rises over the horizon. And he's visited us in our lost condition as we sit in the darkness, at hopelessness, under the shadow of death. And he shined the light of the gospel in our hearts, which will guide our feet into the way of everlasting peace and joy. You know, you young people, you have many more years ahead of you, but don't lose sight of eternity, because that is the most important thing in your life. It's not living here. Yes, you live here and you work and you might get married and have children, but you got to keep your eye on eternity, even if you're young. You know, with older people like us, eternity is a bit closer than with you. Well, it's a lot closer. But just don't lose sight of the tender mercy of God. You know, we gave all those tracts up. We gave the gospel of hope to so many people. I just pray that people read them, that somebody will read those verses and understand, yes, I don't have any hope without faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the tender mercy of God is still towards all the earth, whether or not people believe in him. As Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The trouble is, so many are sitting in darkness. They've been blinded by the God of this world. Who's the God of this world? It's the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We must not give up on those who we know as we come in contact with them. Let's continue to tell others about our Savior and continue to pray that God would open their minds and open their hearts to receive Jesus Christ. We have the truth. We have the Bible. And that's all we need to witness to people. As 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this Luke chapter 1. I thank you. We have so much wonderful, so many wonderful verses that we can read and study and apply to our lives, as well as verses that we can read and tell others. Lord, there are so many lost souls in this world, so many people who have absolutely no hope, and they just don't know the danger their souls are in. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us boldness and courage to tell people about Christ, especially this time of Christmas when the name of your Son is mentioned even among unbelievers. But I pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide us as believers and give us encouragement, give us wisdom as we continue to serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.